The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Here we go. Here goes nothing. I think we're on the air. I think the intro has run. I think the show has begun. Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. I'm getting a thumbs up from outside, which is usually a good sign. Usually means things are going as planned. Dan Peck here in the so I'm running the show from the Drew chair today. Bill Cameron is convalescing. After a minor procedure earlier today, I haven't.
Has he talked about what it was?
He has mentioned the.
Yeah, so we can't make the joke that he's getting Tommy John.
Well, we can still tell people that's really what's going on, and he's just I mean, Bill wants to throw 96, 97 again.
The front office keeps chasing velocity, and it's really putting a toll on young arms like Bill Cameron's.
Yeah, Bill Cameron's under a lot of pressure to keep the velo where it is. And so, no, okay, first things first, all the best to Bill. And hopefully, I have not heard otherwise, so I'm thinking, I feel like I'd be on the list of people to call. If something happened, I don't know where. I'm not saying I'm the first phone call, but
where,
like,
where are you on the emergency contact depth chart?
Yeah, there's a Seinfeld about the power rankings of someone's speed dial, and I feel like I'm somewhere on that list. If so hopefully everything's okay. But Bill's going to take the day, well deserved, and hopefully be back in and feeling good tomorrow. If not, we will improvise with. As best we can with the folks we've got to talk to. Speaking of which, it's Thursday, which means Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer is in the house. How are you doing today, Justin? As we get perilously close to the start of football season.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I consider football season to start tomorrow because high school gets underway. I know the week zero slate in college football is not great. It usually isn't, but this one still is like even more to me. Outside of that Georgia Tech Florida State game, for sure. But, you know, a week from now we'll be right up against the start of a new Auburn University football season. High school's back. The weather has not made it feel like the fall yet, but it's fall. It's football season, and I'm really excited for not only tomorrow night when all the high school action gets underway, but also just getting into game week mode for football on the university side.
Glad you mentioned high school football, because we're going to talk in hour number two with Jacob from On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is succeeding Scott Bagwell as the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, and so we're going to talk with Jacob about his new role and preview the upcoming season, a big season for Auburn High School and that loaded region, right?
I mean, so
we'll talk with Jacob about that. As you mentioned, getting closer to the start of football season. This week alone, we've gotten to talk with a handful of players today.
Yeah,
we heard from Coach Freeze back on Friday. And then we got to talk to all three coordinators yesterday. I know you've written about you did a no huddle about what Auburn's coordinators had to say yesterday, and then you've I'm sure there's Keandre Lambert. You know, Keandre was really enlightening today and cool to hear.
Knocked out a newsletter right after we talked to Keandre, because I think he was the headliner today. No disrespect to the rest of them, because we talked to some other guys that I think people are gonna be interested in. And hearing about, but yeah, Keandre Lambert Smith being the guy, and I looked this up. This is really, I thought this was interesting. If Keandre Lambert Smith's career had been at Auburn, like to this point, he would be 12th all time in yards at Auburn.
Wow.
9th in catches and 13th in touchdowns.
And he wasn't doing this at the FCS level or in.
He was doing it in
major.
He was doing it in the only other conference and the only other division that I think is even comparable. to what you get week in and week out in the SEC, and specifically what was the SEC West.
I want to be careful about this because I'm a small school. You know, I like seeing players ascend from the small school, you know, the mid-major level or the D1AA level and jump into major conference football. And there have been plenty of examples of guys doing that and thriving. However,
got a couple at Auburn.
However, you also feel pretty good about a guy coming from a place like Penn State and playing, being familiar with this level of play, and especially at a position of need to add somebody like that. I do, you know, there have been bigger storylines, but the addition of Keandre Lambert-Smith could be a pretty big deal for Auburn.
Yeah, and it's like, I wrote about this today. He doesn't have any of like the physical skills that immediately jump out to you like maybe some of the freshmen do. Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane.
You know, as a coach told me once, though, neither did Marvin Harrison.
Sure.
Like, that's like, and people, that sounds crazy if you're, and I'm not talking about junior. Junior
definitely does.
Junior does. But if you're old enough to remember Marvin Harrison with the Colts, like that was not, and I guess people would also point out Jerry Rice as somebody who didn't overwhelm in any measurable category
really
as a receiver. But
he was really good at everything.
But he was just, was simply phenomenal. And more recently, I would say Alabama had more physically gifted receivers than the Heisman winner, right? Yeah. Like I would say you had guys who came through that program that had, you know, that maybe seemed more prototypical physically, but that's not the end of the story at receiver.
No,
not really the end of the story anywhere on a football field, but especially at receiver. Like don't write off a guy because maybe he doesn't jump out with exceptional, like maybe his speed or his height or his vertical aren't off the charts, but he can still be a very, very productive receiver.
And I think the thing with Keandre Lambert-Smith is that he's just – it's the experience, the smoothness of his game. He's played a lot of ball. He knows what to do. And, like, this is a room for Auburn that just doesn't have a ton of production. That's where Keandre Lambert-Smith and Robert Lewis, I think, are going to be huge for this team this year. Yes, everybody's going to want to see the freshmen, and they should. They're all really good football players, and there's been a lot said about them. But, I mean, those two guys – stabilizing your floor, but also being leaders and you know, models to look after. You look at last season, there were times where Keandre Lambert-Smith didn't have like the week-to-week consistency, but still was the number one receiver on a team that won 10 games. Robert Lewis at Georgia State got a ton of targets and a ton of catches. And in his career against quality opponents, like power conference opponents, he did really well. And so when you bring that into a group that just needs more – you know, of that life, I think, you know, Auburn has been in a position in the passing game where if you could say, hey, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Robert Lewis, you are guys that can give a team 5-6 catches a game, you know, routinely, man, that just, it changes so much about the outlook of this team because there just wasn't anything real. I don't know if there was anybody on this team this past season who was as proven and reliable as that. You had some guys that had done some things in the past, but not quite to this level.
It changes the workload the freshmen have to get, which is crucial because Auburn's still, I mean, even though you have games, a couple of games in the first month of the season where it does seem like you should be able to overwhelm the opponent and get a lot of guys' snaps, you still have in your first 8 games this season, right? You're taking trips to Athens and Columbia, Missouri and Lexington, Kentucky.
Yep.
And you've got Oklahoma and Cal and Arkansas coming to town. And that's a scary proposition if your top 4 options are true freshmen, even if they are 4 of the 5 or 6 best true freshman wide receivers in college football, that's still really scary to go into that early into a season.
And if they are your best guys, if they turn into your best options, that's a great sign because they would have supplanted dudes who have done it at this level.
It's reminiscent of, and while we haven't seen anybody in the receiver room of these seniors, we haven't seen any of them produce the way McLeod did last year because McLeod was on the team last year at the edge. But it's similar to the fact that they have several young freshmen they really like behind Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford. They have multiple guys, but they didn't want to be in a position.
Calvin Falk as well, if you would throw that other edge.
Sure, club. but I don't think they wanted to be in a position where they were exclusively asking those true freshmen to handle the workload at that position, and having McLeod and Falk and Crawford makes that easier. And I think it's a similar deal at receiver for Auburn, where having Lambert-Smith and Unk and Sam Jackson and the returners from last year, you know, we'll see what Burton and Camden Brown, who got a shout out I believe Knicks Freeze, yeah, and I mean, so I would not rule out the possibility that you could have, especially early, as the freshmen are getting their seasoning, you could have contributions from Caleb and Camden on top of those veteran receivers. But yeah, I think it's even everybody. Look, I want to see the freshmen play. At you know, I get it. I mean, that's they're the shiny new toy.
Yeah,
but early on, Auburn might need those experienced receivers to be playing in big moments too.
It raises your floor, it stabilizes your floor, and yeah, like now you're in a position where a guy like Perry Thompson, who is so physically gifted as a Z, as a flanker, same position Lambert Smith is playing, you're not in a spot where you say, hey dude, you've got to be the guy. We need you right now, and it doesn't matter that you weren't here for spring ball. It's instead, you can get in this rotation and you can fight for playing time with a guy that we know can do it at this level and do it on a pretty regular basis. That's the big thing for Keandre Lambert Smith. And you know, he talked a lot about why he chose Auburn, and I thought it was interesting. He had a lot to say about, like, wanting to be a mentor, wanting to be the veteran presence in that room, because he looks at, yeah, you want to play with Camp Coleman. I'm sure anybody who saw what Auburn signed at the wide receiver recruiting class or saw Camp Coleman highlights in the spring probably was like, hey, I'd like to play with that guy. That sounds pretty fun. But it's like, for a guy like that, it's, I want to help these guys get to where they're going. He wants to help launch their careers. And that's, you know, that's a really cool spot to be in for a veteran, because this is it for him. And he's accomplished a lot in his career as a FBS, as a power conference wide receiver. But, you know, he's at Auburn because he's out to prove that, he's out to prove that he can be better than he was in the past, go out on a high note, and leave something that, like, you know, a few years from now, if Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons and Bryce Kane, these guys are excellent wide receivers, you know, people can look back and say, hey, you know, or those guys themselves can go back and say, hey, you know, Dre Lambert Smith was big in helping those guys get there, or helping us get there. And that's a pretty cool legacy, Liv. I think you see that in some guys like Eugene Asante and some others on the defense side of the ball. But hearing that from a veteran who could have easily gone anywhere he wanted to is pretty cool.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us for today's edition of The Drive. I'm Dan Peck. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline. That's sponsored by our friends at Skybar. Bill usually gives out that number. The text box, 334-564-1840, that's sponsored by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They're an Alabama-based firm offering incredible opportunities. Call them up at 334-209-6355 to learn more. Justin, we'll, you know, set the agenda here a little bit for the first hour. I'd love you made several great points in the newsletter recapping what the coordinators had to say yesterday. I'd love to talk about some of your impressions from the coordinators. We can talk about the basketball schedule. I think we knew the opponents, but now we know when and where Auburn is going to go in January and February. There are a couple of really interesting two or three game runs in that conference schedule that I want to talk to you about, and maybe get a Braves update too. I know it's been up and down the last couple of weeks, but the wild card is still wide open in the National League, and this feels like a year where all you have to do is get in, and it's a brand new sort of situation. So we'll talk about that with you. We'd love to hear from you as well, as we will open up the phone lines. Going to take our first break of the show. Dan Peck and Justin Ferguson in the studio. This is The Drive.
Hip pain is not to be taken lightly. It could be a sign of hip impingement. If pain, stiffness, or limping persists, see a hip specialist at the orthopedic clinic. Treatment includes non-surgical options, but if surgery is needed, minimally invasive arthroscopic hip surgery is only available.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, hanging out with us on a Thursday. We got to talk to some players earlier today. We were talking about Keandre Lambert-Smith, who spoke to the media. We heard from DeMarcus Riddick as well. I showed up a little bit late because I had some other things going on, but I know some other players, including Hank Brown, spoke before I arrived as well. So yeah, Auburn continuing to provide access. Probably the last time we're going to. Are there selected players next week? I think maybe game week we could get some.
You'll get players in game week
before meetings. I believe was the thinking. So that could be that could be a nice. A nice treat to be able to talk to. I mean, we're going to hear from Hugh Freeze. First game week press conference is Monday. So Coach Freeze will be addressing the media in advance of the Alabama A&M game, which you can hear on Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn Opelika area. If you are in town for the game, Wings 94.3 will have your coverage of Auburn High School or Auburn University football, Auburn University men's basketball, Tiger Talk. Aired the first episode of the new season of Tiger Talk on Monday, and Auburn High School football as well on Wings 94.3. So, yeah, should be an exciting time. Talked to the coordinators yesterday. All three coordinators took a turn at the microphone. First, it was it Coach Durkin first, and Durkin Nix Burns, I believe, was the was the order. Coach Durkin, a year after he played a large role in helping Texas A&M improve in some key defensive categories, he's coming to Auburn with a team that feels like they can improve in some of the spots where they were lacking last year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this year with Durkin. You know, his two stops in the SEC, previous two stops in the SEC as defensive coordinator, better in his second year than the first year. First years weren't great at either spots. I wonder how much that's going to kind of, you know, if that's a trend or if that's something, you know, due to roster and all that. Everybody's different. So the excitement about the defense is definitely there heading into this season, I think. You've got a defense that has done a really good job in camp. I think they feel like their defensive front, especially on the edges, can be a real difference maker. They've got more depth. If the secondary can hold up, and that's the big question mark with how thin it is at some spots and how youthful it is in its depth, I think you have the potential for this to be a pretty good Auburn defense this year and take that step forward that they need to be, you know, a consistently great one. There are question marks, but I do think the strengths of this team are where you want them to be, right? You want to be experienced and deep in the middle of the field because your linebackers are so crucial. And I think you want to be able to get to the quarterback, as best as you can. And I think this edge rushing spot, now it's going to be more than just the edge rushers, but the primary bulk of it goes down to the Bucs and the defensive ends. And I think that's a room that has been just receiving rave reviews, and it's got a great mix of experience and talent and, youth and energy. It's just, it's exactly where you want to be in a room where you can look at, you know, Josh Aldridge said it recently, he felt like he's got the best of both worlds because he looks up and he's got Jalen McLeod and Keldrick Falk back. And he's also got several five stars and a guy in Keyron Crawford coming in who, they think could be just as impactful as Jalen McLeod was in year one and maybe in just a little bit of a different role because of the depth that they have.
I had to attend to something over here and I turned my microphone off. So we talked last week about the Auburn offensive line being a potential vulnerability.
Yep.
On the offense, you don't want to go so far as to say a weakness, but a vulnerability.
I think it might be a relative weakness compared to what you have on the rest of the team.
And then Hugh Freeze the next day at the press conference sent some shockwaves through the Auburn fan base by saying a lot of the same things.
Yep.
And highlighting that he wasn't thrilled with after seeing two scrimmages at that point. One scrimmage, and they were about to have two really physical days of practice, and he had not been thrilled to that point with what he had seen on the offensive line. And it sounds like some of his concerns, it sounds like he did not get the right medicine, you know, to ease that indigestion about the Auburn offensive line, because we saw position changes We saw position changes before the practices, and we heard on Tiger Talk
about even more
shakeups potentially on the offensive line. And that's a long way for me to say, because we're talking about DJ Durkin here. Do you have a group or a spot that stands out as a similar potential vulnerability on the Auburn defense? And if so, what do you think it would what do you think it would be?
Cornerback. Okay. Cornerback. I think you're bringing back a guy in Kalen Lee, who was your number three for most of last year. He's very good, very talented guy. And then you have Keontae Scott, who is moving from nickel to corner. I think he can make that move, but there's some question there, because it's, you know, he hadn't played outside corner, you know, at a high level yet in his career. It's just at that point. You got a nickel in Champ Anthony, who is relatively inexperienced in this level. Your depth at corner could be really talented. J.C. Hart, Spooty Kite, Jake Crawford, not a ton of playing time there to go around. So it's, that cornerback group, when you lose two NFL drafted corners and you have to shuffle some guys around, and you know, you're not very deep. You lost a couple of guys that you thought you could rely on this year over the last few months. That's the position group where I'm like, yeah, we'll see. But going back to what I said earlier, if Auburn's pass rush is as good as it could be this season, that, you know, you feel a little bit better, because they're going to have some of that cover, right? The best thing to give a secondary, a pass defense that might have some weaknesses, might have some growing up to do early on, is get in the quarterback's grill and not give them enough time for the receivers to go to work. And that, we'll see how much that'll help those guys out growing, especially if they get off to a quick start. Last season, with Jalen McLeod's injury and some other things going on with the depth at Auburn, they did not get off to a great start in the pass rush last year. It was the second half of the season where it really took off. If they can flip that, get off to a really good start, I think that'll buy some time for that secondary.
Had a brief chat today with Greg over at Homestyle Laundry. I want to say a shout out, because he's a long time listener and fan who it was cool to he gave me the I've been listening to you for a long time, but I've never met you or never seen you. And it's not, and I guess people are often surprised to learn, you know,
that you're a giant.
Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Village Homestyle, my man Greg. But he was asking about, you know, questions, you know, about different spots on the team, and one point I made, and I think it translates to the defensive backs too, is that I think Hugh Freeze, not hated, but Hugh Freeze really didn't like seeing a bunch of guys that joined the team in June trying to learn on the fly last season. It was done out of necessity to fill the roster out.
At so many key spots.
And that's not to say, like I think Hugh Freeze likes the idea of someone who was on the team last year, even if they didn't play all that much.
Sure.
Ascending into, getting earning the role and you know, the development of the last year, 2 years having paid off, because that's a spot. Cornerback is a spot where Auburn could have, I don't know how heavily they pursued going out and trying to get someone who would profile as a one or a two.
Yeah, they didn't try super, super hard, but I mean, there were some flirtations, I think, in the portal.
Yeah, you got the sense that while they would love more depth, they project confidence in Keontae and Kayan as a pair of top cornerbacks in the SEC, whether or not
we'll see.
Yeah,
I'll just say, the last time that very young secondary was out on the field, that a lot of them had to play against Maryland, and it didn't go so hot in that game. So, I mean, it's a bowl game. It's detached. You've got almost a full year to get better. But, you know, that's one where you're like, you know, if you were a pass defense that last season was middle of the road in the SEC – and you lost four starters from that group, you can be like, okay, what could you expect to drop off on paper? Sure. I do think, though, the experience in that front six, I think, is going to help them out a ton.
Is Durkin,
I'm so used to saying front seven. Yeah. Nobody plays a front seven anymore.
Is Durkin saying the right things about, you know, how he feels about those very cornerbacks? I mean, here he talked a little bit about the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I think they keep talking about just trying to find depth. I think they like their top two options. They got to find consistency. And here's the thing. for a guy like Hart or Kite or Crawford or multiple of those guys, Amon Lane Gaines, like a lot of those guys out there for them, you might not be able to find that consistency until you actually go out there and do it. And where this is where playing five straight home games, four where you should be the favorites coming in, four in a row to start the year where you should be favored coming in, should help that group, because it's not like, hey, you're opening the year with a buzzsaw on offense. Now, Cal will test you. Arkansas will definitely test you. Not as much New Mexico and Alabama A&M, but you know, it's not like they're rolling out there and they're having to play, you know, Georgia in week two, right? Or, you know, playing Missouri early in the season with that lethal combo that they've got a quarterback and receiver. So, like, I don't know how much, like, they keep saying we got to build that depth, we got to find consistency. I don't know if you're going to find that until you actually get into game mode. And that's where I think this schedule could really benefit a group that's going to need some time. And like I said earlier, I really think the saving grace for Auburn's pass defense this year might just be the fact that they could get after the quarterback a lot better.
I thought you were going to say run defense when I asked, sort of like, you know, is there a spot where?
Yeah, that one's tough just because there's so many different. I mean, everybody's
involved
in that.
There's so many new pieces too. Like, I mean, I think Auburn is, you know, if lack of depth was a problem for the Auburn defensive line last year, and you can attribute any of Auburn's struggles in the run defense, we talked about how the fourth quarter was a real problem. If lack of depth was part of the issue there, Auburn has seemingly addressed it. I don't think lack of depth was the whole story.
No.
There, because as you mentioned when you looked into the numbers, Auburn was also a pretty bad run defense in the first quarter last year. And that's generally not
And I think your linebackers play a part into that some. And my thing with defensive tackle and inside linebacker, the heart of your run defense, everybody's involved, but that's the heart of your run defense. I find more reasons to believe that things could be better for them this year than the corners, just because, okay, there's more experience, there's more depth at those spots. On paper, the cornerback spot, you know, hey, if Keontae Scott and Kayan Lee look like, you know, high-quality SEC starters from day one, stay healthy all the way through, and Auburn's able to work in some of those younger guys, you're perfect. You know, you're in a great spot.
That's the dream scenario.
The dream scenario. Because not even, like, at safety, you got Bug Thompson, and then you've got Caleb Wooden, and you've got Sylvester Smith, and then you also have Terrence Love. And you also, like, you start stacking some of those guys, Harris.
I was going to say, heard good things about Caleb Harris
right in
the most recent scrimmage.
Corner, it's like, you know, you start to look around and be like, okay, who's going to be that guy if something happens? You feel a little bit better at safety. But that corner spot, it's just such a tough spot to play, and you're going to have to rely on kids. And last season, you had to turn to a kid early in Kay and Lee, and he ended up better for it on the other side. So there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some rough times. There's going to be some shots hit on you at some point.
Yeah, turn to Champ Anthony too. Like, I think Champ and Kay and both,
not as much as Kay and, but definitely.
But they both come in with playing experience because of injury. I don't know if it was necessarily the plan last year for either of them to play as much as they did, but between the two starters at corner and Keontae, suddenly there was a necessity for both Kay and Champ Anthony to be on the field, and Auburn is probably better for it, as tough as it was to do that last year. We'll talk a little bit about what Coach Nix had to say on the offensive side of the ball, and Tanner Burns, special teams coach as well, who I thought had a couple of really really cool tidbits about how that aspect of the team is looking. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. I'm Dan Peck. Bill Cameron, by the way, has I have received a dispatch from Bill Cameron, and although I am an old school radio guy, I am not going to tease through the commercial break an update about Bill Cameron post surgery. I'm just going to tell you right now that Bill is doing fine. So he is, you know, it's all good with Bill. He made it through. Shout out to Dr. Wilson and the rest of the team there at the orthopedic clinic. But yes, it's good to hear that everything is okay with Bill Cameron. And, you know, I could have said, right, Justin, I got to stay tuned, and when we come back, I'll tell you the big update about. But no, so I'm just gonna tell you right now, Bill's fine and should be. Hope, you know, we'll see how he's feeling. Could be back tomorrow. Might not. If he misses tomorrow, we will welcome him back for a game week on Monday. We're hoping, by the way, Justin, we are hoping that Barrett Salee can make his weekly appearance tomorrow in hour number one, even though he will in fact be in Dublin, and it and it will in fact be midnight in Dublin on Friday night when he is supposed to call in to the show. And so I am hopeful. I am skeptical because that's an expensive call. We've Skyped with Barrett before. He could Skype, but I am hopeful, but. Doubtful that we're going to get Barrett tomorrow, but it would be awesome to get a dispatch from Barrett from Dublin, Ireland, a couple of hours before Florida State and Georgia Tech kick off the 2024 college football season. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us. This is the Thursday edition of The Drive. As we... power through. As I was waiting for the music to queue up.
Yeah, no, you got to queue that one up.
I know, I got to get the music going there. I actually, to be honest, a little peek behind the curtain here. I grabbed the wrong mouse, and so I was about to like, hey, let's fire this, and I was like, oh no, that would actually be.
And your arm's not quite long enough. I almost just to hit the screen.
Yeah, I almost hit the turn off everything button. So you know, I avoided that.
You asked me if I learned how to do this when I worked here, and I was like, do you honestly think they trusted me with any of this?
I mean,
I'm surprised they let me. They gave me money for as long as they did.
You're surprised that your number worked to enter the premises.
They didn't even give me one of those. I still don't know it.
All right, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer is hanging out. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. This is The Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly
Welcome back. Hour number... we good here? Okay. Welcome back. Hour number... one of the sorry, I had a buzz in my in my headphones there. I think we're good to go. Justin was also lifting his chair to distract me as I
TLC
was
match.
There we go. Yeah, Justin was getting ready for Sunday's big Wembley Stadium show.
Yep.
By getting a folding chair.
I somehow I'm in the Bill Cameron chair, and he's probably going to be mad at me knowing that I'm here, but. The cord for the headphones somehow got in the wheel of the chair during the commercial break.
Yeah.
So had to deal with that.
Love the cord. This is not a complaint about the equipment because the long cords can come in handy.
Oh yeah.
They can also there's another side to that coin. They can also they can be your enemy. So yeah, glad you got that sorted out. We were talking in the previous segment about some of the things DJ Durkin had to say when Auburn media got to talk with the defensive coordinator yesterday and some potential vulnerabilities on the Auburn defense. We also got to talk with Coach Nix yesterday, the Auburn offensive coordinator, who there has been, I'd say since the last time we talked to Coach Nix, there's been quite a bit of news. Auburn has added some receivers to the pool. Auburn has...
Well, we talked to him a couple of weeks ago.
That's true. I was the last time we talked to the coordinators alone,
yes,
a lot has
yes.
changed. But you're right. Coach Nix talked with the rest of the position coaches just 2 weeks ago. I feel like a lot of that conversation, it veered into other territory as well, but a lot of that was focused on the group that he is the group that he is coaching.
And it's so funny because I think the group he's coaching is getting hardly any attention now. It's the running backs.
Yeah.
And the thing with the running backs is it's just kind of been a boring preseason for them because all three of Auburn's main options there are back, and they're, you know.
There are shinier and newer parts of this offense and this team.
There's bigger questions, bigger doubts.
Than the three
you would think Auburn's going to be able to run the ball this year. That's going to be the big thing.
And if they can't, you would think running back is not the primary issue. As to why. If Auburn can't run the ball because teams don't respect the passing game and Auburn has trouble on the offensive line, like that.
Although it does sound like their offensive line is doing a good job in run block. It just pass pro seems to be the main part of the shuffle right now.
But we've talked about how this is an ecosystem offensively, right? Like if you can't throw the ball, that can limit your ability to run the ball and the elusive balance.
And there's something here that I don't think people are talking about quite enough with this offense, and Nick's talked about it yesterday. He was saying that, you know, some of the ways Auburn's going to do RPOs are going to look different and all that, but you got to remember what an RPO is at its core. It is a running play that can turn into a passing play depending on what is read, you know, either pre-snap or post-snap. But you know, RPOs are run blocked. They are plays where the offense is going ahead. And in that vein, you're better if you're going to be an RPO heavy offense. You're probably going to be an offense that runs the ball a good bit, because if you spread the field and you have receivers you feel like can be threats in the RPO game, you're going to get lighter boxes. You're going to get better numbers. You're going to get favorable hat count, and you're going to be able to run the ball. And so that's the thing with this team this year, is a lot of people are talking about the passing game and how that needs to improve. And it absolutely does. It's the biggest thing holding Auburn back, and has been for a while now. But I think if you're going to be an offense that runs a lot of RPOs, and you hear about Thorne making the right decisions and all that, and you hear about, hey, the guys are better in run blocking than pass pro, I think the straight dropbacks, and they got to get better at that for sure. But what Auburn's biggest weapon might end up being this year is that their running game is, like, there's going to be so much of it where you'll watch a play happen for Auburn this year, and you'll be like, oh, that was just an inside zone, or it was just a run up the middle. So much of that. But it's like, watch what's happening at receiver. Watch what's happening on the outside, because a lot of times they're going to hand the ball off, and there was an option for him to pull it, for Peyton Thorne to pull and throw. But they have faith in their run blocking. They have faith in their reads, and they have faith in their running backs that they could probably run the ball a little more often than not. It doesn't have to be like a situation where you'll see this at Tennessee a lot. You saw it a lot with that Baylor type of offense, that veer and shoot style, is like, oh, when we have overwhelming numbers or if we have a clear-cut advantage, we'll run the ball. I think Auburn's going to be in a better spot where it's like, hey, even hat count, we feel good about our chances here.
I wonder, because another thing Coach Nick said very early on in his media availability was, you know, he referred to Peyton Thorne as an extension of the coaching staff. And mm-hmm. You know, I wonder how often last year Auburn had a run play called at the line of scrimmage that was dead on arrival, but they didn't necessarily want to, or they hadn't empowered Peyton, or Peyton didn't know to right. change out of it. And, you know, it feels like, you know, one thing they want this offense to believe, and I guess that, you know, Peyton Thorne would be, you know, the catalyst here, where they want any play that Auburn line, you know, every time Auburn lines up, they want Peyton to be able to change it to a run play if he likes the look, and Auburn can work effectively, which is sort of, you know, that's another way to achieve that balance that Hugh Freeze is talking about. I'm among the things I want to see with the RPO is, it feels like it would really benefit, I've made this point before, but it would really benefit a player like Rivaldo, you would think, to have an effective RPO game. You would think he would be one of the as a run blocker who can quickly get open and make some plays. You would think Rivaldo would be somebody who would thrive in an RPO heavy offense as one of the primary targets. I mean, the receivers mm-hmm. would work too, but I would think that would be right up Valdo's alley as like a, you know, a way to, you know, a guy that you could quickly utilize as a blocker turned pass catcher with some dangerous weapons.
Dan, you might remember this from the scrimmage we saw. There were a few times in that scrimmage, and Valdo was the main recipient of those, but you had some other ones at times. They would do what was called a slip, and you would run an RPO or something like that, and your tight end would look like blocking, and then boom, just get behind him, flash open, and you know, get those chunks of yardage. And I think that's the thing with Rivaldo Fairweather that I think is going to be so special about him, is that, you know, I think I don't know who said it recently. It was a player who said it recently. He was like, he's like, I don't consider Valdo a tight end. He's a receiver. Now, he plays tight end, but he's a receiver. Nick's talked about being able to make 11 look like 12 personnel and vice versa. What Rivaldo Fairweather can do is, you know, he can be attached and, you know, run play, and then boom, slip out and then make a catch. Or what that also does as well, if you think about the reverse of that, all right, you put Rivaldo Fairweather on the line, or you put him in the slot or whatever, and it looks like he might be blocking. What a defense is going to do is they're going to put somebody lighter, they're going to put somebody faster to try to cover him, because most, you know, inside linebackers aren't going to be able to hang with him. And what does that do? makes things easier for you to run the ball with guys like Jarquez Hunter, Damari Allison, and Jeremiah.
And I would think, especially in the red zone, Brendan Frazier, Brandon Frazier could also fit as somebody you could you could say, you know, he's a tight
end. They're going to run that 12 package, I think, a decent bit.
Right, and Luke Deal and Mike O'Reilly have special sets of skills as well. Yep. That's a really intriguing position where, I mean, even if Auburn didn't have the bountiful collection of wide receivers that they've got, I think there'd be more pressure on the tight ends to really be a huge part of this passing game. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case, although Valdo is still one of the keys to this Auburn offense.
I think things could end up being better for Valdo this year because of the fact that he's not having to do. I mean, there were so many times last year where he was just really the only guy you could trust as a receiving option. But yeah, that.
Well, and how many guys are we talking about where it's like, oh, they joined the team last year and had an abbreviated offseason with Auburn and had to adjust to a new conference and new teammates and a new offense and all that stuff that's not the case this year. I mean, the reasons that a Dylan Wade or a Tutal or a Connor Liu, right? Like there's guys all over the field that you could say, like Peyton Thorne. Like the reasons that any of these
Peyton's
guys,
a great example because he got here late. Some of those guys were here for all last season.
But some of those guys were really new to Division I football too, in a way that Valdo
power conference.
Yeah, level, in the case of in the case of Tutal and Connor.
Tutal for sure.
Yeah, and Connor Liu's kind of cheating as a freshman, but like those are, the thought that all of those guys could be more comfortable in their surroundings with their surroundings, and that could lead to a better second season as members of the Auburn team, and Valdo would be one of the first guys I would say that about. And also, just like with Kieron, this is a guy who, because he's newer to the sport, there's a chance
development
that
might be a little bit more accelerated.
Yeah. I saw somewhere that I forget, maybe Michigan State, Antonio Gates Jr. That is a situation where I feel like sight unseen, you're at least getting an offer, right? If you told me,
it's Antonio Gates, done.
Like I remember a couple years ago, like Noel Devine Jr. was a running back prospect in Florida. And it's like, well, that's all I need to. You sold me.
It's so easy to give kids offers because every team will offer like 200 kids a year. So yeah, why not?
Yeah, you had me at hello in that situation for sure. All right, 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline brought to you by Skybar. 334-564-1840, the Drive text box, sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Dan Peck here in the studio with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. We will be back with more. Stick around. This is The Drive.
Inspired by the bold bison, Southern Union students blaze new trails every single day. They press forward knowing their SU education will lead them to success. Affordable, accessible, and low.
Number one here on the Thursday edition of The Drive, Dan Peck in the studio, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin, tell everyone about, by the way, when is the Observer's birthday?
September 1st.
Okay, so we're coming up. We're rapidly approaching.
It'll be after the first game.
What is it? We are
entering year 5.
Oh, wow.
So this
will
be the fourth birthday. It started in 2020.
Starting season 5.
Season 5.
Season 5 of the Auburn Observer. And if you want to help Justin commemorate the Observerversary, the Observerversary.
Still got time.
And Justin, tell everybody about how to do it.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check it out. We put out newsletters and podcasts pretty frequently. Goes to your email inbox. We've been putting out at least one thing a day for the last few weeks. That'll continue into football season. We also cover Auburn basketball and getting excited for that season as well. But if you want in-depth breakdowns of Auburn football, what's going on the practice field, in-season X's and O's, stats, analysis that you can't get anywhere else, go to auburnobserver.com, sign up. $45 for your first year. That is 25% off what we usually are. So less than $4 a month. And like I said, during football season, we're pretty much giving you something like 5 or 6 days of the week, you will get something from us. And sometimes you'll get multiple things from us.
And in case you needed evidence of our ability to gas bag, I threw out at the end of segment one couple of different topics for us to possibly talk about, and I feel like we got about 70% of the way through topic one.
Yes.
Of the three. And here we are, like the music's about to start playing for the end of our
number. Oh, and by the way, if you like this show,
that's right.
Dan and I do a podcast twice a week that you can get if you subscribe to The Observer.
And a very special episode.
Yes, that will come out. I think I'm going to put that out sometime this weekend. To kind of launch in to get roll into game week.
Mentioned it during Andy's call on Tuesday that the Grubserver was rapidly approaching.
That'll probably come up, sometime this weekend.
By the way, Andy Burcham, subscriber, listener,
inner circle member from day one.
Yeah, a charter member.
Yes, he
of
is.
The of the Observer family. And so so AuburnObserver.com, subscribe and. Any special teases, anything that you want to use?
Next week, we're going to be in the thick of it. Like, there's going to be a ton of stuff going on with football season getting underway. And we will continue to cover basketball in the preseason. I hadn't written a lot of basketball here recently. Mailbag will come back next week. Hadn't written a lot about basketball recently because of football, but, it'll be here. If you thought football season got here quick, basketball season is going to get here super quick.
November and December.
It's chaos.
I mean, just madness with everything we got going on. Hey, we're going to talk with Jacob in hour number two about the Auburn High School Tigers. He's going to be the new voice of the Auburn High Tigers. He's going to jump on with us and help preview the season. They're getting started tomorrow on Wings 94.3. Love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390. Dan Peck, Justin Ferguson, this is The Drive. Stick around.
Four Seasons Federal Credit Union is offering a 15-month certificate of deposit at an annual percentage yield of 5.12%. Visit us online or in person. Accounts federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Membership eligibility required. $2,500 minimum deposit. Subject to early withdrawal penalty. Contact us for more details.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out. Drew off today, taking a personal day. By the way, I took a personal day yesterday. Thanks for everybody for covering for me.
You did?
Yeah, I was just feeling a little tired after the coaches' interviews. And I knew that Bill was going to miss 2 days this week. And I knew that we had
rotating cast.
We had Jason in here in hour number one, and we had the coaches interviews and stuff. So I figured, whatever. And I'll take
this would be great when we play all after this segment when we play nothing but interviews
minutes,
for the final 2 hours.
We still got to talk basketball schedule. We still got to talk. We got Braves. I promised a Braves segment.
Fine.
We can maybe an HBO Painter tribute. We'll see. Whatever works there. But it's hour number two of The Drive. Bill Cameron is fine. Don't be alarmed. But Bill Cameron had
Tommy John.
Yeah, but yes, should be. I would say Bill Cameron is
Tommy John.
Probably 12 months away from a rehab start. Yeah. And maybe 16 months away from rejoining a big league rotation. Bill should be. He will be back soon. I don't want to promise that Bill will be back tomorrow because it wasn't me that got cut open.
Look for
earlier
him in
today.
Spring training.
Yeah,
I think he'll be fine in the complex.
It's like they say. Minor surgery happens to you, and major surgery happens to me.
Correct.
Right? So I'm not going to describe Bill Cameron's operation as minor surgery or anything like that. But yeah, Bill, hope you're feeling better. I know he was listening at the beginning of the show, and so hopefully.
Then he heard me and was like, "Nope,
I don't.
Bye."
I don't want to make any promises about what Bill's doing
right
now.
Time to go to sleep.
But he's had a big day. If he wants to take a break from us, take the rest. Yeah, the podcast is there. He wants to catch up on what we talked about. So we are getting closer to game week for Auburn University. You can catch that on Wings 94.3.
You can also,
excellent work. You can also hear the Auburn Observer podcast, which is recorded in the Wings 94.3 studios, and
somewhat legally.
Semi
legally.
I found a key in the other room, and they didn't. And Wings 94.3 also the proud home,
yep,
of Auburn High School athletics, high school football. You can catch on Wings 94.3, and tomorrow the season getting going and a new era of Auburn High School athletics, Auburn High School football broadcasting, because our buddy Jacob Goins is gonna step into the chair and take over the broadcast tomorrow, and we are thrilled to welcome Jacob into the show. Jacob, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. Thank you for bringing me back into the studio. It's been a whole hour since I walked out.
I was about to say,
sorry,
you had to cool off for an hour.
I was gonna say sorry about the previous 4 minutes which you had to endure as well.
That's
as,
okay.
Before we introduced you,
I was like, are you ever going to get to Jacob? I was sitting
here. Oh, Jacob's here. That's right. But it's a. I mean, you're no stranger to play by play. You've been calling games here on the Auburn Network family of stations mm-hmm. for the last couple of years, but now it's a little bit different, right? Going into the Auburn High School chair.
I was doing Lee Scott for 2.5 years and was very thrilled to get that position and started with baseball a couple of years ago. Went through two full athletic seasons with Lee Scott, football, basketball, that's girls and boys, and baseball. Got to call two state championship games back to back for wins for Lee Scott football. Got a state championship in basketball this past year for the boys team, and watched the baseball team go all the way to the state finals. And so while as much fun as that was, and a blessing that was, and a great start for me with the changes on the Auburn High Sports Network, I was blessed with the opportunity to take over as the new voice of Auburn High. And so that gets underway tomorrow night, as you guys mentioned. Tomorrow night, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. The Tigers hosting the Chargers of North Miami Beach. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I want to say too, kudos to Scott Bagwell on several years of distinguished service in that role. And I know Scott's going to be listening tomorrow night, and maybe you know maybe you're going to have the phone on airplane mode. Like, I feel like because Scott has your number, you might be between Scott and Bill. I know a couple of former Auburn High School broadcasters will be listening, and they'll be. But no, you're going to do a great job, and it's such an exciting, like, for folks who have never been, because it occurs to me, mm-hmm. like, there might be people listening who have never been to an Auburn
never
High School.
Never been to the Duck.
They've never been to the Duck when it's you know, at full throttle. And it is...
It's wild.
It's high school. And you get to see a lot of high school football in your travels.
I'll be just there tomorrow night.
When that place is at full throttle, it is...
One of the best.
I mean, it is exactly what you think of with Alabama high school football. And it's really cool. You're going to fit right in, Jacob.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask Jacob about that. Like, you know, what's it like going into not only Auburn High football, but like with the region that Auburn's in, the area, like, just it's widely regarded as one of the best, you know, area. Like, Auburn's got a schedule that week in and week out, you're going to see some of the highest caliber high school football in the state.
It's insane. It really is. I mean, just looking at the schedule, and I was talking with head coach Keith Etheridge on my show earlier, and he joins me every Thursday at 3:00 on ESPN right here. And just looking at the schedule, man, I mean, you open up with a team like North Miami Beach, big name, making a big trip. They're a really talented team, and just don't know a whole lot about them because mm-hmm. it's a team from out of state. And then you have Vestavia Hills in week two, which is considered a top 10 team in the state, depending on where you look. And then Opelika is week three. You go on the road at Enterprise, who's a top three team in the state. And then you still have to go on the road to Central Phoenix City, who is the defending state champs. I mean, you have so many teams on this schedule where you cannot take a week off. And even the Dothans of the world and at Carver Montgomery, like, you cannot take it off, because if you do, it's 7A. And they have enough talent. They have the coaches. They will beat you. But one thing I can tell you is this Auburn High team is very confident. The coaching staff is confident in who they have on both sides of the football. And a fun season is in store, and it gets going tomorrow night.
It seems like one of the vital words is culture, right? It seems like they've built something that – because, yeah, I mean, yes, it helps that it's a talent rich area, and folks, you know, it's not an area where
biggest high school in the state.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also, I think, when you set a standard year in and year out, like, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the next crop of players to uphold that standard. And Auburn's done a great job of the names change, but a lot of the, you know, a lot of the results remain the same every season.
One thing I've learned in the very short couple of months that it's been, literally 2 months that it's been since being the voice of Auburn High and having the chance to speak with Coach Etheridge and so many of the assistants and even some of the players too, is they don't just put themselves in the same conversation as the best schools in the state of Alabama. They consider themselves one of the best programs in the entire country of high school football. And when you are at the top of 7A, you mentioned it, Justin, the biggest school in the state, and you are competing with the best in this state, which is top five in the country of high school talent, you're allowed to do that. And when you play for state championships and try to get back to more, I mean, you're allowed to... You're allowed to put yourself in that conversation. Now, I think Auburn High fans are looking for some results, and rightfully so. And I think that's what they expect to see this year, and I think Etheridge and the boys are expecting that as well.
The interesting thing with Auburn High last year is you get an early season injury at quarterback, and you have to adapt. You know, hopefully it'll be a healthy year at quarterback. One of the things they got to do last year with this offense that had to change so much is they learned that Omar Mabson is one of the best running backs, not only in the state, but I think in the Southeast. And he's just entering his junior year. And I'm telling y'all, if you haven't gotten to see him or don't know anything about him, he has an Auburn offer, has a lot of SEC offers at this point. This is one of the most talented running backs I've seen at the high school level. And he's got two more years of this. But this Auburn High offense, like, they had to kind of make it all work last year and had a really good season, you know, with it. But, like, I think a full-strength Auburn High offense this year could be really, really dangerous.
No doubt about it. And you bring back Jackson Kilgore, the quarterback who was injured a year ago, very, very early in the season, which he's talked about how he's ready to make up for lost time. And I think he's going to do that as a senior quarterback. And Omar is somebody that Etheridge talked about today on my show, just has so much praise for the player that he is, the student that he is, 4.0 athlete, the man that he is. I mean, he says he's one of the most enjoyable guys to coach, which makes it easy. And then when you're really good at football, that helps too. And the offense is going to run through Kilgore at the quarterback spot, Omar Mapson at the running back spot, and don't overlook the senior wide receiver Peyton Plott. That's somebody that I've continued to hear about time and time again. Playmakers on the outside. Other than him, we're going to find out. And there's guys all over the field. That's one thing Auburn High has is depth and talent, and we're going to figure out the playmakers on this offense.
Yeah, it was interesting because last year you had Ian Nation, All-State receiver, you got to find – like, there was so much attention on him that Auburn High, it just, they always find guys. They always
There's
find
somebody
dudes.
There. You just got to find them.
Yeah, and if you have consistent quarterback play from week one on, I think they're going to be able to get those weapons rolling pretty early.
Our buddy Mitch chimes in on the text box, and he's curious. He's a Florida guy, and he's curious, what do you know about North Miami Beach's travel schedule? Do you know when they
arrived?
They got
here today.
Yeah, how long
they Yeah, they traveled in today, and
is that a bus trip? Two buses, maybe, or something like that. Yeah. That's a long bus ride.
I know, and what we've been told, this isn't, I guess, any secret insider information.
Ooh, here
it's
we
just
go.
They didn't
play the music.
I mean, the roster that we received was not overly impressive in terms of a quantity, a number of players.
Yes, they had a limited travel squad. I know that.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is they didn't bring a ton of guys just because that's a long trip to bring a lot of players, especially if you're on the bus. I mean, if you have
– And meanwhile, Auburn High is going to have 200 kids on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's what I was about to say is, I mean, you start comparing that, and not that they don't have a big team. It's not as big as Auburn's, and they brought a limited roster. So that's what I do know. Believe tomorrow they may go over and check out the university a little bit, may check out the football facilities for Auburn University before gearing up for tomorrow night.
Plays a tough schedule every year, North Miami does, I know.
They've been in this area before. Yep. They've played Auburn before. They've played Enterprise before. So this is not new for them.
It's always cool when especially visitors from relatively far away or folks who don't get to regularly make the trip to the Auburn-Opelika area do some sightseeing. I saw the Southern Miss soccer team doing some some sightseeing.
I believe they're getting underway tonight.
They're playing Auburn
cranked up when I was leaving the campus today.
I've seen that bus multiple times as a Sun Belt rival, and it's fairly distinctive, huge black and gold Southern Miss
sticks
bus
out
with
in this
with
town.
with an eagle on the
big
side
yellow
of it.
Eagle yeah. Jake, I wanted to ask you though about Auburn High's defense. You know, every year you're gonna get really high quality defense from Auburn High. You know, Coach Goolsby's been might be regarded as one of the best assistant coaches in the state, if not the best. you know what you're going to get out of Auburn High, and even though the names change year in and year out with the amount of talent Auburn High gets on defense, I have a feeling that this is going to be another group that they're really excited about.
I want to list off just a couple of weights of the guys on the defensive line. Are you ready for that? Because I have my roster, because I'll admit I'm still learning. There's 130 players. I ain't got them all memorized yet. But
remember, too, before high school team.
Yes. This is a high school football team.
16, 17, and some 18-year-old kids. Are you ready for this? 285, 280, 280, 330. Yeah. I mean, think about that. Those are young men in high school football that are up front on the defensive line, and a couple of those guys, Etheridge named by name today. I mean, even 245.
I want to know how 330 is fitting in those desks at school. That's
6 foot three, 330 is Carnell Jackson, so keep that in mind. So that's what you're going to get, and I've seen them in person, and they're big, and they can move. I mean, the footwork of these guys is truly incredible, and they get to the quarterback. If you don't deliver and get it out of your hands in the first few seconds, you're going to have a long, long night against this Auburn High defensive line.
Tell folks about who's going to be on the call there with you this season.
Yep, and so I taken over as the voice of Lee Scott, and just blessed is an understatement to be the new voice of Auburn High. That is for football, girls and boys basketball, and baseball. But for right now, for football on Wings 94.3 will be me. Rob Pate will continue to be the color commentator on Friday nights, and Jack Hutton will be with us as well in studio or in booth. Stats, sideline reporter, drive recaps, just an on-site producer for us. So me, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton.
That's an outstanding team. Folks are going to want to tune in to Wings 94.3 tomorrow and all season long for Auburn High School football. And I want to give you a chance too, because I know Christian is taking over, and he's going to do a great job. But I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that too, because that was a big part of the last couple of years.
Your life. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, Lee Scott is in good hands, and it is bittersweet to be moving on from them, and that's where I got my initial start in play by play. That was my first voice of a team, and Dan, you know how special that is. It truly is unlike anything else. And so did that for 2.5 years. Christian Griffin was my color commentator all of last year for football, basketball, baseball, and he's a recent Auburn University graduate, so he'll be taking over as the voice of Lee Scott, and we got his color guy lined up too. So they're going to have a lot of fun. That's over on AU100, which is 100.3 on your radio dial, and you can catch all that on the Radio Alabama app as well.
Big year for Lee Scott moving up to AHSAA, so brand new era in more than one way for the Warriors starting tomorrow.
They're going to see a bunch of teams that they haven't usually been playing.
There's one opponent on their schedule that they've played every year, and that's Glenwood.
Everybody else
is brand new.
Just got the message from Steve Witten, by the way. Want to shout out some Auburn High School sponsors, some of the big, some of the key folks helping the broadcast on the air. So Orthopedic Clinic, Acre, Mountain High Outfitters, Russell Building Supply, Southern Union, Auburn Bank, the Googe, University Ace Hardware, and Troy Bank and Trust, key sponsors. Thanks to all of them for their continued patronage and support of Auburn University and Auburn High School athletics.
Without them, we don't do radio broadcasts. So, local businesses, you're the reason we do it. So, thank you very much.
Jacob, thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow. Knock them dead. And folks, you're not going to want to miss that on Wings 94.3 tomorrow night.
Thanks so much. Go Tigers.
Jacob Goings, the new voice of Auburn High School football. Of course, you can also catch Jacob on the Line right here on ESPN 106.7 from 2 to 4 every single weekday. Hey, and we've got a throughout football season, a lot of exciting stuff. Might hear Jacob again doing the Asante interviews. We'll see what happens there. But with Tiger Takes. Yep. But we'll be keeping in touch with Jacob all season long. You can catch the we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. You can also text the show 334-564-1840. Drive text box sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Southeastern Industrial Contractors, an Alabama-based firm offering incredible opportunities. 334-209-6355. Hour number two of the Drive, also sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic. This hour of the Drive, sponsored by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic, Bill Cameron, giving a big shout out to Dr. Wilson and the rest of the team at the Orthopedic Clinic. He'll be back soon to tell his stories of
Bill's gonna be back in the high 90s soon.
Yeah, a hands-on visit to the Orthopedic Clinic that Bill can tell us about And this, yeah, this hour of the drive brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We're here with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer for the rest of the show. We're going to talk, you know, we didn't really get into the special teams, and I thought that I thought Tanner Burns, Auburn special teams coach, had a couple of really interesting tidbits about where Auburn is on that side of the ball. Also talked some basketball, got the conference schedule earlier this week, and a Braves update as well. So there's we got a lot to discuss before the show is over. Love to hear from you as well on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Stick around. Hour number two of the Drive. We'll be right back.
The Edward Vaya College of Osteopathic Medicine in Auburn is dedicated to its mission of transforming medical students into caring, compassionate physicians. VCOM partners with Auburn University for student activities shared.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Auburn Observer. Or no, Auburn. welcome back. Sorry. No, we were just talking.
Yes!
We were just talking during the break.
Yes!
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Drive. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer.
I'm never going to come back on here again.
I know, that's terrible. That's fine. Well, you know what? When it's just the two of us for 2 hours and we're taping an Auburn Observer after this.
Right after this.
It's going to feel like we're doing the but hour number 2 of the Drive, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer is hanging out with us, and we appreciate that as we continue previewing the upcoming season for Auburn, talking about some of the headlines we've had in the recent days, and mentioned Tanner Burns talking to the media yesterday, Auburn special teams coach. Some questions about what Auburn may be doing in the return game.
Yeah.
And I thought some great anecdotes about Jarquez Hunter as well.
Jarquez Hunter, who said, "I just like running and hurting people," earlier this year. Yeah, he wants to be on every special teams unit, which is – he might be the only feature back in America that can say that. Like, I want to be on every special teams unit because, I mean, that's just
if you look
who
at
he
the
is.
If you look around the country at running backs who were voted first team – in their respective conferences, I wonder how many of them.
I don't know
are dirty work special teams.
I don't
guys
know
as
if
well.
You're going to find a starting running back at the Power Five level in college football who wants to be on kick coverage and punt coverage.
I don't think coaches at the mid-major level want their top running back doing it either, man.
No,
it's probably less common at the. I mean, when you're a starting running back in the Sun Belt, it's probably less common that you're going to be out there on special teams doing it. Let alone for Jarquez, but he's. He's always been a really enthusiastic contributor on special teams. Whether he's Tanner Burns talking about that yesterday, that some of the guys that you might think profile as returners for this Auburn team, like Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman,
Malcolm Simmons.
But these are guys. The point I was going to make is these are guys who might be playing elsewhere. On special teams, they might be gunners. They might be
DeMarcus Riddick.
They might be on kickoff coverage. I mean, so I think you got the sense too that Tanner Burns pretty happy with the elevated level of talent that he's dealing with.
If you have more talent on your team and more depth on your team, your special teams is going to naturally be better because it'll be guys who you feel like you can put on special teams that you know, it's just going to be a higher quality guy.
I mean, the number of guys last year that were true freshmen getting special teams run when Auburn had veteran options they could have used instead was sort of an indication that, well, I mean, yeah, it seems like maybe some of the better depth options are the true freshmen. And that's generally not where you want, like, you'd love to have the infrastructure to ease true freshmen into those kind of roles.
But I think this day and age now, you're just not going to see teams redshirt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no incentive, really, other than, like, maybe we keep this guy for a fifth year.
Unless the guy's, like, so buried at his position compared to everybody else,
like,
maybe you slap a redshirt.
I don't want to play this guy on a special teams unit because we might play him over the four. It's like, I don't know if that's going to be an issue anymore.
No, I can't imagine that you would hold a guy off of special teams because you want to preserve his redshirt. I think in that era, and I guess the example of that would be Terrence Love, who played in pretty much every game last year in special team situations and did not take a redshirt.
There's another one here recently who did the same thing.
Comparable to, well, you think about JC and Sylvester, who were guys that spent last year helping out, I'd say, scout team defense and taking a redshirt and playing sparingly, who could be in could be in line for, I would say both of them seem like they could be big, huge special teams contributors this year.
Oh yeah.
If they're not starters or the next man up on the Auburn defense as well. Like that's where
I think
to hear Tanner Burns, talk about he seemingly likes where he is with how the younger players are coming along.
Right.
Where would you handicap the punt return race at the moment?
It sounded like Bryce Kane might have been the favorite, but like I think it might be a situation where they try different guys out and see who works. I would say Kane and Simmons would be my top two picks, but Perry Thompson's going to get options. I don't think they're going to want to put Keontae Scott out there a ton. And then we've heard Keandre Lambert-Smith be an option. Because, like, so with the way punters are now in the collegiate game, how many times do you actually get a return? Maybe once a game? Maybe twice? A lot of times you got to be hitting the fair catch and just making sure you secure it. And Auburn fans, I know you know the importance of that from what happened late last season. So, like, they're talking about just guys who could be sure hands back there. And it's like, we don't care if you're necessarily going to bust the play wide open and score a touchdown. We just need to make sure we get the ball. And so you've heard about like a walk-on like Will Upton getting in that pick. But if I think like if I'm throwing a guy back there and being like, okay, this is the guy that makes the most sense in terms of him being able to catch the ball and then make a play when he gets an opportunity, Kane, I think, is going to be the shiftiness, the agility, the speed will help him out. And then Malcolm Simmons. I think Malcolm Simmons is one of those guys you could just throw out there at any moment and be fine with. The other ones will be interesting. Kick returner, we heard, is probably going to be Jeremiah Cobb, with Malcolm Simmons being the number two there. Could see some Jarquez Hunter there this season. I think Cobb is an excellent pick there, because as we saw a couple times last season and all throughout his high school career, his breakaway speed, big play ability just to turn it up is huge, and that's what you want in kick return, because it's a lot of straight line speed. It's what made Brian Batiste such a really good option back there. You're not worried about the hands as much. You're just worried about, or even the shiftiness. It's just, can you put your foot in the ground and go? And Cobb makes a ton of sense there, and Simmons does as well.
Cobb's in kind of a tough situation offensively, just because it would seem like he's the third guy. He's the third guy at a position where it's tough to play more than two consistently. There are teams.
They're going to find ways to get him on the field, though. I think it could end up being a situation where when Auburn goes 21 or 20 personnel, when they have two backs on the field, I think he's going to be the second back more often than
not. But if he's a vitally important –
or a wide receiver.
If he's a vitally important special teams piece who plays sparingly because Jarquez and Damari Alston are healthy all year, I still think that could be a really it does not diminish the college football player that Cobb could eventually be.
Yep.
Like, to me, because we're thinking this is Jarquez's last – well, we know this is Jarquez's last year of college football. And then, Damari Alston and –
Damari would have one more year after this.
Veterans with options in place. Cobb would seemingly be in an excellent position to challenge for a much larger role next year, even if he's not used all that much this year.
And I think Cobb could end up getting a hot hand this year and end up being Jarquez Hunter is going to get the first crack at it and will most likely be that guy for most of the year. But, like, between him and Alston, and they do different things, but, like, I think at wider – I think there's so many position groups because you have that depth and you have some of that experience depth, they're going to ride the hot hand. That, if Jeremiah Cobb comes in and lights the world on fire early on and he's the guy who's averaging more yards per touch, doing more with his opportunities, they will tilt it towards them. Doesn't mean that the other guys aren't as good – or that they're not good players at all. It's just running backs to the play where you get hot, a place where you just think, hey, if you're hot, ride with it. I think of
– it's also a position where if
Booby Whitlow is a great example of that a few years ago. Cameron Petway is the ultimate example, I think,
of
that.
Hunter, Alston, and Cobb are healthy all season long, all three of them are available for all 12 games, like, you would think Auburn got extremely lucky with the way things work at running back. So even if Cobb isn't in line, like if the plan is for 80-something% of the snaps at running back to go to Hunter or Alston, if that's the way it plays out, there could still be a huge role. And again, I don't know if that's the plan.
Yeah, I think they could run all three running backs out there and make it pretty even. And I think Hunter would probably get more of them, but You can make it work. A lot of good teams have done it.
And I would think that, like, my guess would be that it might be a committee that's a little bit more Hunter and Alston centric than Cobb, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That could be the plan one or two games in, and sure. Then you see enough Cobb, and you say, you know what, it's similar to like on the offensive line. It's very interesting to see who the first five are going to be against Alabama A&M on Saturday night. It's far more interesting to wonder who are the first four going to be when you play Arkansas in week four. Has that changed? Will the starting five, as they evaluate
other... You keep hopping over Cal.
You're right. I almost said Oklahoma, just because I wanted there to be several weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not overlooking the Cal game whatsoever.
Sure.
I'm just saying I wanted there to be a couple of weeks before. You're right. It could be a different offensive line in week two.
Well, and then the other thing is Cal and Arkansas, there one team gave Auburn a much better game than the other one did last year. So that's the thing is Auburn should be favored in all those games, but except for Oklahoma. But that Cal game, I mean, it's just I keep looking at it is Auburn better? Yeah. Is Auburn at home? Yeah. But there are some fans out there who think that's a foregone conclusion. I call it now. If Auburn goes out there, takes care of business, whoops up on Cal, beats them by multiple scores, yes, you could say that is tangible proof that this team has taken a step forward that you need to. But you just got to win.
It would be not that Auburn is so much better than Cal that it would be this humiliating loss or anything like that.
It'd be rough.
It would be a calamitous loss because folks are thinking it would immediately throw a wrench into the we're a much better team in year two. Now you can pull out of it. I mean, you can drop it. You can drop an early game and bounce back.
Oh, sure.
But
I think last year showed everybody that what happened the week before is not indicative of what's going to happen the next week. I think New Mexico State and Alabama are a huge example.
A team can be in this crazy modern era of college football. A team can be good enough to both play Georgia and Alabama and Ole Miss into the fourth quarter and also look like the inferior team for an entire game against New Mexico State.
And then come back the next week and should have beaten their biggest rival.
Right.
And ended up winning the SEC.
And I pointed out in my attempts to explain the New Mexico State thing last year, which was difficult to do.
They just got flat out outplayed. Yeah,
explaining the inexplicable. But one thing I pointed out was, there was a team in Oklahoma State that earlier in the season last year, one of the first couple games of the season last year in Stillwater,
was just an
absolute one-sided South Alabama beatdown of Oklahoma State
that no one saw coming.
And they're a team that still went on to win 10 games, right? Nearly, I mean, they were in the big, weren't they in the Big 12 championship game?
Believe so.
I want to say they lost to Texas in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you'd much rather have that game early than late. That was the problem.
It's not the end of the world if you drop.
Every game is different. Every week takes on a life of its own.
What I'm thinking, the point I was making was, I want to see after a couple of weeks of evaluation,
because I don't know how much evaluation. You're right, because I don't know how much evaluation you're going to get from the Alabama A&M game, right? Like the Alabama A&M game is going to be. I mean, Alabama A&M is not a great FCS program. Like this is an FCS program that routinely gets beat by a lot when they play in these matchups, and I don't know how much evaluation you're going to be able to get. I don't know how much learning you're going to do. So yes, to your point, you might know a lot more heading into the Arkansas and Oklahoma game than changing things up. Like if you change things up from the Alabama A&M game to the Cal game on the offensive line or wherever, I think it's just like something very clear happened. And what you would expect to be a pretty easy win for Auburn.
And I do wonder between Tyler Johnson and Tate Johnson, Tyler and Tate, and I'd say Braden Joyner would be in that mix. Maybe Ronan Chambers. Like there are candidates.
Depending on what you do at tackle.
Depending on what happens, there are guys that could break into that may not be in the starting five when Auburn takes field against Alabama A&M that could break into. The starting five later in the season if Auburn is unsure about what they're getting out of those first five
guys. They're going to have an injury. They're almost guaranteed to have like a starter is going to miss time this year on the offensive line. If you go through an entire year without a major injury on your offensive line, I mean, you're one of the luckiest teams in the world.
We need to take a break. We will be back with more. 334-321-1390. You got a call hanging on, so we will get to that. Also want to talk a little bit of basketball. Might get a Braves update in before the show is over. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, Dan Peck in the studio. This is The Drive.
For air that is cool and clean, call Sensegreen, 334-641.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us. Really appreciate everything you've been doing, Ferg. Before we get to Yellowhammer, who's hanging on, tell us about the Auburn Observer again.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check it out. $45 for your first year. It's a 25% off discount. We email everything out to you, football and basketball. Newsletters, podcasts, analysis, X's and O's, stats, a lot of good stuff. A lot of practice stuff, a lot of intel from fall camp. Check it out, auburnobserver.com.
All right, Yellowhammer hanging on. We're going to get to the phones and the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. And Yellowhammer is up. What's up, Hammer?
Hey, howdy, howdy. So we're playing Cal, right?
Week two.
First one's Alabama A&M.
Okay, and so here's my wonder. Are we playing the same Cal or a remarkably new Cal?
Yeah.
Or just...
Yeah, that's a great
and
question.
Who is the quarterback? That's two. Same quarterback, new quarterback.
Well, it's not the same quarterback because the quarterback who started last year for Cal is now on Auburn's team, and Sam Jackson, who's moved to wide receiver. So Fernando Carmona was the guy who finished the year last year for Cal at quarterback. He had a solid year, got him to a bowl game. So it is a different quarterback than what we saw last season. I would expect Cal to be able to throw the ball around a little bit better. They do bring back Jay Knott. They're a really talented running back. Auburn did a great job against him last year. It'll be interesting to see. This Cal team, not a lot better on paper than they were last year, but I do think they're going to be able to throw the ball a little bit. Lost some guys on that defense, have to reload the offensive line, but it's going to be an interesting Cal team.
Rookie quarterback?
He played about the second half of last season, so he is he's got some experience, but not a overwhelming amount.
Cal was picked to finish 10th in the new ACC out of – I believe
16.
Out of 17.
17.
Stanford and Cal make 17. So Stanford was picked to finish last in the new look ACC.
It's a very rough year.
By the way, Cal got a pair of first place votes at ACC Media Days.
Weird.
From folks.
Yeah, Yellowhammer, like this Cal team I think is going to be very similar to the one that played against Auburn last year. Like I said, might be able to throw the ball around a little bit better. I'm interested to see what they do on their offensive line. They've got several transfers that are probably going to be starting. So it'll be a very new look group for them up front when they come to Jordan-Hare in week two.
And of course, we're not the same Auburn.
That's the hope, right? That's the hope. And this, I do think this is a more talented and a deeper team for sure.
And what I think Hugh Freeze is grateful for when you say it's not the same Auburn team, thankfully Auburn does have multiple starters returning from last year's team.
Yep.
It's not as though Hugh Freeze had to hit the reset button and go get 18 new starters out of the transfer
portal. It's a good mix of new and old,
yeah.
I think, is what they're leaning on.
You know, I think the idea that there are closer to four or five players who weren't on last year's team that could be in your starting 22, offense and defense, like you'd rather have that than the opposite, which is what year one looked like, where it was four or five players who were on the 22 team and the other guys are new additions via the portal.
But where you have your new additions are the areas where you needed to grow the most, and I think that's the big sign. That's the big sign for them.
Okay, well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. Great stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I think that's a great question from Yellowhammer, because, like, I think we get to week two rolls around and it'll be like, all right, it's Cal, and it's like, what do we know about Cal? Because it just comes fast and furious, and these are not teams you see regularly down here.
Speaking of the ACC, we know Auburn will be going to Duke in men's basketball this year.
Wondering how the segue was going to work.
Well, and you know, we found out a little bit more about Auburn's basketball schedule in the last
Don't have all of it.
Still don't have all of it. You know, as I guess the final T's are being crossed and I's and lowercase j's being.
Saw Kent State going to be the latest addition to Auburn, Auburn schedule.
Could be hosting.
That's a pretty good. That's a
I imagine Auburn's
pretty
not
good
going
MAC team.
I imagine Auburn's
yeah,
not
I don't
going
think up. They're going to Kent, but yeah. that's usually a pretty good team out of the MAC. Like, it's been a tournament team someone recently.
Sure, and it gives Auburn a look at a different style too, which I think is really, you know, it's a cool thing to do when you're assembling a.
But the SEC schedule dropping yesterday. We knew who Auburn was going to play and where they were going to play, and we just didn't know the order and when.
I like that. How about that the first road game first conference road game for Auburn, first ever game in Austin, Texas for Auburn men's basketball, and that should be. That should be a fun one, especially if Auburn's had a productive non-conference.
Yep.
Like those could be two top 25 and maybe better than top 25 teams squaring off in Austin in a midweek battle.
There's, I think, four of Auburn's first six are on the road, so they're going to get tested pretty early. Now, the thing is, I don't think most of them are not, like, overwhelming opponents. It's not like they have a murderer's row. I think there's some winnable games on the road, but it'll be a good test for them. The other thing, and the big thing for me, Auburn-Alabama, both games going to be on Saturday this year. That's the first time that will have happened, I believe, in like 8 or 9 years. And, you know, this rivalry, Auburn-Alabama, has gotten so hot in college basketball. And the Saturday games just have more juice to them. It's just a basic fact. And I think when you look at North Carolina, Duke always gets the Saturday slots. Tennessee-Kentucky always gets the Saturday slots. Good for the powers that be at ESPN or whatever, you know, whoever's making all those decisions, make those games on Saturdays. Those games need to be, including a finale for Auburn, a home finale. And if that one has stakes, that one has championship stakes, you're talking about potentially one of the biggest games ever in Auburn basketball history.
Yeah, if both teams are still in the hunt. Oh, man. I mean, we've had Iron Bowls of football where both teams were still in the hunt, you know, going into that final game.
Yep.
You know, that would be
monumental.
Something new for Auburn and Alabama to be playing in the last game of the season with
the final stretch there for Auburn. I mean, that is, it's going to be a make or break time for you. Like the schedule is pretty backloaded.
Oh, like you said, I mean the road games to start conference play, I think, make it all the more savvy for Bruce to have scheduled games away from home in November and December the way he did, because Auburn's going to need experience away from home to survive that first 6-7 games.
And then down the stretch, they play at Kentucky and at A&M.
Yeah. Maybe the toughest 3-game stretch on the entire schedule is the last two on the road, followed by Alabama at home. What a way to get ready for the NCAA tournament. Presumably, but then by playing three teams that, I mean, your preseason conference player of the year from last year, Wade Taylor, is there at A&M. I won't be shocked at all if A&M is one of the four or five best teams in the SEC this year, because it feels like with Buzz and with Wade Taylor, like they've got the pieces.
I think they're the only team in the SEC that brings more minutes back than Auburn in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, ton of experience, you know. And
team that was a little disappointing last season, but...
But yeah, I mean, but
still a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I think a team. But I guess there's the question of: would you rather take a team that's a little bit disappointing and have like four new pieces in the starting lineup?
Yeah.
Or would you rather bring a ton of experience back from that team?
Yes, coach, yes, like, Dan, you could be Ole Miss.
Yeah. So you could be Ole Miss, which is reshuffling the deck
completely
in year two. Don't be surprised though if that number. No, I'm not gonna.
You can't
I'm
do
not,
that.
I'm not doing
year.
It. I'm not
you
doing
can't
it.
Do it.
Yeah. Watch out.
I will not let you.
If they're good, I can say that I was early. I was a year early.
And sure, and that was the thing is like I'm not going to be surprised if Chris Beard can build a winner in Oxford, but it's like I need to see it first.
You know what? And one thing about Ole Miss's team last year that gives me pause about some of the other teams around college basketball is I think we saw with Ole Miss how hard it is to try to assemble a team out of the portal in a year and have that team compete with the best teams.
Well, Ole Miss just did that again.
Yeah.
they're not really bringing anybody back.
And I mean, and I think, look, Arkansas has assembled, and I guess Arkansas would be, like, if I wanted to like a team that's mostly been Frankensteined out of the transfer portal, like Arkansas would be a roster. I think Mark Pope has a plan, and bringing in guys that were almost universally considered among the top defenders at their position in the transfer portal, and also like Kentucky starting lineup.
He knows
250 or something career starts.
He knows where everyone was irritated with Kentucky these last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated to see
if you go replace Calipari and say we're gonna go do it with defense. It is marrying your ex. Like you move on from this flashy NBA coach, offense heavy, NBA draft pick, you know, factory to what is Mark Pope going to do? Well, he's a Kentucky guy, and he's gonna play defense, and right. Like that's exactly what they're gonna want.
And he's gonna go old, which is something that Calipari.
And every 70-year-old who has season tickets to Rupp Arena is gonna love that it works.
I mean, there's a 23-year-old freshman right on Kentucky, the kid from Utah. Like yeah. there's one of the older teams in college basketball, which is crazy to think with Kentucky.
That's one of the things. There's like Kentucky always never made sense to me. In these last few years under Cal, when they weren't like winning championships, where it was just like, this looks like a this, and when they're good, they're really good, and they, you know, they took it to Auburn a few times in the stretch. But like, sometimes they would play and be like, man, this looks like a high powered AAU team, and I don't know if you know, but Kentucky basketball fans know their ball, and they have a particular style. They're almost like Real Madrid fans in soccer; like they know what they want, and.
All right, we're going to take our final break and be back to wrap things up. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. I'm Dan Peck. Stick around. You are listening to The Drive.
If you truly care about your feet and want to make them happy.
Welcome back. Final segment of the
Thursday
edition.
How many
edition.
Seconds do we have?
Final segment of the Thursday edition of The Drive. I think we've got... I think we've got about a minute till the music starts going. So tell folks about the Auburn Observer.
Yeah, one more time, auburnobserver.com. $45 for your first year if you sign up. That's a 25% off deal. Best deal you'll get all year. You know, give us a handful of bucks a month, just a few, and we'll give you podcast newsletters, everything covering Auburn football, men's basketball. As in-depth and stuff you can't find anywhere else, straight in your email inbox.
It's crazy to think that like Monday's show will be game week. We got D1 college football this weekend. We got Auburn high school football tomorrow night. So it's going to feel like a game weekend in Auburn tomorrow night and toward, you know, this weekend as well. But just a
I like the idea of this like this weekend being kind of like a dress rehearsal for game weekend. Like when you talk about like downtown, the businesses and all that.
First weekend with all the students back classes have started too. Yeah, like I think these next couple of nights, you know, be alert. Be aware.
Be careful.
Be safe. I think Justin Ferguson said it beautifully. Bill Cameron, possibly tomorrow. I don't know. We're also going to start having Don Dunn on Fridays to talk about the trenches and everything going on in there and the pit boss Don Dunn. In the meantime, thanks to Jacob for joining us beginning of hour number two to talk about Auburn high school football. For Justin Ferguson and for Jacob, this is Dan Peck signing off. Good night.